We're in Luke chapter 2 and verse 7. The Bible says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there's no room for them in the inn." It has been believed for many years about Martin Luther, the great reformist that was born in 1483, died in 1546. Had been believed for many, many years that he is the one that penned the words to "Away in a Manger." Now, years gone by, people have said, well, it wasn't him. But for many, many years, people believed it was him that did pen that. And you think about some of the words, "Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head, the stars in the sky." And it goes on, it goes on, it goes on, descriptively to describe that day, away in a manger. And so as I preach on that this morning, I want us to think about the place of the manger, but more important than the place of the manger, what took place in that manger that day. And we want to look at one person in particular. I want to look at Mary today, and I want us to consider some things about her and her character, because she was a marvelous woman with her character, and as we see, of course, her role in bringing that which is the Christ child, our blessed Savior, into this world. And I want us to notice some things. Let me give you a couple of statements this morning to help us in lieu of the message. Statement number one, the mission of the mother, the mission of the mother. And I want you to think about this as we look at it contextually. Luke chapter 1 and verse 28, the Bible says, "And an angel came unto her and said, Hail." Listen to what it says. "Thou art highly favored," it says. "The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And so here, Mary was highly favored. Listen to it. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, the Bible says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Luke chapter 1 verse 31, the Bible says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive," it says, "in thy womb," it says, "and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." Now, I want us to think about some things here. Notice, if you will, please, the wording of this, if you will. The Bible says here, "Behold, thou shalt," it says, "conceive in thy womb," listen to it now, "and bring forth a son." Well, that kind of lets you know that abortion is wrong right then and there, okay? Conceived in the womb. Matter of fact, there was no discussion, is it a he or is it a she? The Bible talks here, "and bring forth a son." That was taken care of in the womb, it says, "and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." Now notice this. You see that Mary was favored of God. The Bible says in verse 28, the Bible says, "Thou art highly favored." And you think about how Mary was highly favored of the Lord. What's it mean to be favored? Well, the word favored simply means this. It means graciously accepted. Graciously accepted. You know, when you think about the manger, what took place in the manger was more important than the location of the manger. You know, parents don't go to the hospital to visit the hospital and say it's a wonderful facility, and they just stand there and they glare at the hospital as the baby has been born. No, they're in a hurry to get through the front doors. They don't even care what the front doors look like. They don't care what the structure of the building looks like. Matter of fact, when they get into the room, they don't look at the way things are laid out in the room. They don't look at the design of the room. They don't look out the window and see what they can see out the window. No, no, no. They're interested in one thing, and that is the person that's inside of that room. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, we get so caught up in the Christmas decorations. And I'm for the lights. I think lights are pretty, you know. And I'm for the tree. I think that the trees are pretty when they're decorated. I think that's neat looking and stuff like that. But let's not get so carried away with the lights and with the trimmings and don't get carried away with your Christmas meal that you'll eat three times on that same day. Don't get carried away with that, if you will, so much so that you forget what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about the one that was away in that manger. That was Christ. Those wise men didn't travel afar to see the manger. They traveled afar to see the Christ child. You know, so let's not get so carried away. It's amazing to me. I think that during this time of it, that we recognize, as far as here in the West, we recognize December the 25th as that which is the birthday of Christ. And, you know, can I say this? Here's what we have to be very, very careful about. It's the only day, I think, that you celebrate somebody's birthday and you give everybody else gifts. Amen. You think about that. You know, we celebrate birthday, and then some people will tell even this. They don't even use it to be able to show that that Christ is the one. Yea, God is the one. The Bible talks about that every gift that cometh down from the Father of lights. Amen. Every gift. But yet some people, they take away from that and they say, well, you know, Santa Claus is the one that brought that gift. I know one child that got highly mad at his dad. His dad had taught him over and over, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus. And we got old enough to realize that it wasn't Santa Claus, but it was dad that did it. He got mad at his dad and said, how come you've lied to me for 12 years? Since you've lied for me to 12 years, I don't think I can trust you now. Hello? Now, don't get mad at me. I'm not preaching against your favorite person at Christmas. But your favorite person at Christmas should be Christ. Amen. The reason that we are so blessed is because of God. Amen. Hello? God is the one that gave. God is the one. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have breath, my friend. Wasn't for God, you would not have. Now, I'm saying, don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. My daddy, he dressed up as Santa Claus. We always knew who he was. Matter of fact, he didn't get the expensive one. He got the plastic one. You ever see the plastic one? You know, the plastic one that you put on and stuff like that. You know, and so he would wear that in, and we'd hit each other and say, that's Dad. You know, because you could tell. I mean, the beard would be falling down, have the string over here and the string over here, you know, and he'd keep trying to pull it up like this, and Mom would look at him and say, Johnny, your beard. And so he'd push it back up and stuff like that. Now I'm saying this. I'm saying, let's not get away from what Christmas is all about. Hey, we thank God that God has given us the ability to be able to give gifts to our loved ones. We thank God that God's given us the ability to be able to honor those that have meant so much to us over the years. And we'll go out, we'll find their favorite thing that they want, and we'll find some nice wrapping paper, and we'll wrap it up real nice, and we'll decorate the tree, and we'll have the Christmas music playing, and you know, and maybe it won't be like 82 degrees this year at Christmas. I don't know. But I am saying this, that here's what took place that day. Let's emphasize what took place that day. Here's what we do understand. The Bible talks about how this woman by the name of Mary, which is that which is the one that God used to bring his son into this world, she was highly favored. Matter of fact, the Bible says that she was highly favored among women. The Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 1 and verse 38, the Bible says, and Mary said, it says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. To be it unto, it says, me according to thy word. So she was not just a person, if you would please, that gave witness of God. She was a person that walked with God. I mean, here was a woman that, if you would please, that she witnessed about her God. And I had a young man stop me from our special needs department out in the hallway, and he said, preacher, and he has trouble communicating, and he said, preacher, he said, you know, I was down at where he works at on horse farm. He said, I was down at the horse farm, and he said, I started giving out these Bible tracts, and he said, this woman stopped me and talked to me, and I didn't know what to say. He said, but after a while, he said, God helped me, and I was able to get it out. And to the best of my ability, I tried to tell her about Christ, and she stood there being very patient with me, you know. And I was able to give her a gospel track, and she said that she'd take it home and read it. He was so excited. Amen. Amen. Because God was using him to be able to get out the gospel. He was excited about talking to somebody about Christ. You know, we have people that's in our church, and they will, they have businesses where they mail stuff off, and they put gospel tracts into what they mail off. I think that's a great way. I think you ought to use every avenue you possibly can in order to be able to get out the gospel and to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about how Mary, she was a witness. She wasn't a witness to herself. She was a witness about that which is the Son of God. Now, I wish we would take time and just think about this for a little bit, but if it wasn't for the Son of God, where in the world would you and I be? If it wasn't for the Son of God, I'd still be caught up in my religious persuasion the way that I was brought up in my family. If it wasn't for the Son of God, I'd still be attending a religious outfit, a church, if you will, please, that was not even straight on the gospel, but taught us that we needed to work our way to heaven. If it wasn't for the gospel and somebody giving me the gospel, and may I say, the gospel can be given, and I thank God for gospel preaching churches. I thank God that you can come, and even tonight as you come and bring your friends, you'll see the gospel is well presented in that which is the musical presentation that we have tonight, and I thank God for that. I thank God for churches that would give out the gospel. I think every church ought to, but can I say this, my dear friend? It ought not to stop inside of the confines of the church. It ought to go outside of the doors of the church. You ought to be giving the gospel everywhere you go. Do you really care about that friend? Do you really care about that neighbor? Do you really care about that business associate? Do you really care about that loved one? Do you care about that family member? Then you ought to carry the gospel with you everywhere you go and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's worthy of you talking about him. May I say that you notice that this is Mary, and she had a mission. She had a mission. You know, the Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So you and I are supposed to be faithful just like Mary was faithful. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, and they all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication. It says, with women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was with the brother. She was faithful. She was faithful all the way through. Now, can I say that you and I ought to be faithful? When Brother Malcolm was praying about a church, he gave me this testimony. As we talked in my office, he said, you know, one of the reasons I consider Parkside is because somebody gave my mom a tract years ago, and it was a tract from Parkside, and she kept that tract, and when it came time that God was moving me from one church to Parkside, he said this, my mom testified, I think that maybe you ought to consider this one. Now, it was because of a gospel tract. I remember one man, it was in our church, that came to our church. He got saved, and he came to our church. And the reason he got saved and the reason he came to our church is because he found these gospel tracts everywhere. A marvelous story. He said that one day, somebody on a Saturday came by his house, knocked on the door, and said, I want to invite you to Parkside Baptist Church, and gave a tract. He said, but I didn't give the young person any attention. He said, you know, I was busy, and said, okay, thank you, and it kind of got away from that. He said, then I went down to the laundromat. He said, my washer stopped working, the washing machine. He said, I had to go down to the laundromat. And I went down to the laundromat. Here comes a couple that's in the laundromat, a young couple, and they give me a tract, the same one. He said, I thought, well, okay. He said, then, it just bothered me. It unnerved me. He said, I thought people from Parkside was chasing me. He said, they followed me from my house to where I was going to go do laundry. And I thought, he said, so then I walked into the grocery store. He said, I was in the grocery store, and he said, this little kid came up to me and gave me a tract. He said it was from Parkside Baptist Church. He said, I knew they were chasing me. He said, it unnerved me so much, I went over and I grabbed me a six-pack of beer. He said, I thought I'm just going to go home and drink it off. He said, I got home and tucked up inside of the six-pack of beer was a tract from Parkside Baptist Church. He said, this is crazy. You know, that man got saved because somebody kept giving him the gospel over and over and over again. You remember Mr. Parks? Mr. Parks lived over here two streets over. Mr. Parks was a man that was having some challenges. He was in the backyard. All of a sudden, somebody knocked on the door. He was in the backyard contemplating. Things were not going well. He was contemplating suicide. And all of a sudden, two ladies come up, knock on the door, hand him a tract. When they handed him the tract, somehow or another, their thumb covered up everything but Parks. His last name was Parks. He looked at that and he said, "This has got my name on it." They didn't know what he was talking about. He said, "Well, if it's got my name on it, I guess I should read it." So he took it inside. He read it, received Christ as Savior. Now, can I tell you, it's amazing what being a gospel witness will be. Amen. Our second-born son, Joshua, when we were traveling in evangelism, he went out door knocking. We were in Louisiana, and he was out door knocking. He kept knocking on the door, knocking on the door. You know, we tell our kids, or we taught our kids, that if you go door knocking and you hear somebody in the house and they don't come to the door, I don't think they're trying to be mean to you. They probably just didn't hear your knock. Knock louder. And so he started knocking louder. They didn't come to the door. There was a man sitting in the back room. He had a gun. He's getting ready to commit suicide. But because Josh kept progressively knocking at the door, he laid down the gun. Came and received a gospel witness. Later on went to that church. Later on received Christ as Savior. Can I say that? It's amazing what the gospel will do. It's amazing what the gospel would do. Here, Mary, she was a gospel witness. She was a witness of what took place. She always pointed others to that which is of the very Son of God. Can I tell you, that's what you and I ought to do. We ought to take time to point people to Christ. And you can do that. You don't have to be highly educated. You don't have to come from a society, if you would please, that's full of Christians. No, you can be exactly what God wants you to be, and you can be used of God if you'll simply just decide to be used of God and take up the mission that Mary had, pointing those to the blessed Son of God. May I say, there was the mission of Mary, the mission of a mother. Watch this. There's the majesty of the manger. The majesty. The majesty. When our children had children, and we went to the hospital, can I tell you, again, we did not emphasize this is a wonderful hospital. This is a beautiful hallway. They have good coffee. Nothing like that. But we emphasized that which was the coming of the child. The majesty of the manger was not the manger itself, but the one that was representing the majesty of God in the manger, Christ. Watch this, if you will, in verse 35 of Luke 1. The Bible says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee." And the Bible says, "And the power," it says, "of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the Holy One, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God." The majesty of God. The majesty of God. Only God could do that. The book of Matthew chapter 1 verse 23, the Bible says, "Behold," it says, "a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, the Bible says, "For unto us is born," listen to it now, it says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful and Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now you think about that, if you will. Wonderful, what does that mean? That means this, that he can take care of all the dullness that you have in your life. Now why? Because he's wonderful. He's wonderful. Brother Jonathan does a good job with the media department and those that work with him, and so he was able to get it done. And I told him, I have a screen inside of my office, and I said, you know, I'd like to be able to functionably do this with the screen. And I said, but man, I love the mountains. I do. I just love the mountains. We've been to the Smoky Mountains many times, and it's one of our favorite places to go on vacation is up in the Smokies. Just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Or out to Colorado, just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And I said, so what I like to do is to put it on so when people come in, you know, you have these mountains that's coming up on that screen. Can you do that? And you know, he put mountains on that screen. Now, you don't have to go climb them, but they're beautiful to look at. And so he was able to put that on the screen. You know, I've seen so many beautiful things over the years. I was telling somebody the other day, when we were in evangelism, we traveled for 12 years. We traveled America and many countries. And as we were in evangelism, my children were highly blessed because they were able to see America. They were able to see wonderful things in America. There's not been too many spots in America they've not seen. And what a wonderful blessing it was to be able to do that, and then to be able to fly to many countries around the world and be able to give the gospel and to meet with governors and be able to meet with, different congressmen and the vice president there in the Philippines and many other people, and to be able to make sure that the gospel presentation was very, very clear. Now, can I tell you this? It is very important that we understand that he is wonderful because he is wonderful. When you serve him, there is no dullness. There is no dullness. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, preacher, I've just been dulled with my life. Well, maybe you're not serving Christ as much as you ought to be serving Christ. There's no dullness. He's wonderful. The Bible says he's the counselor. So wait a minute. If you understand what he's talking about here, there's no dullness in the life because he's wonderful. Because he's our counselor, he is the one that helps us to make the right decisions in life. Right decisions in life. Right now, I'm getting ready to make a decision. My wife and I have been praying about something for a long time, and I said, let's take our time on it. Let's just take our time on it. Let's just pray on it even more, you know, about what we're trying to do, and let's just pray and make sure that that is the will of the Lord. Now, he's our counselor. He's our counselor. He helps us to make decisions in our life. Statement number next, he's the mighty God. What's that mean? That he's the one that is in demand. In demand. He ought to be the one that helps you to demand in your life. He ought to be the one that's the demander in your life. I mean, the one that's in control. You know, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Some people say this, well, preacher, I'm going to start this or I'm going to stop this. When I get under conviction, you ever hear that? You ever hear that? I'm not going to do that because I'm not convicted. Oh, I'm going to do that because I am convicted. Well, I think you ought to do things because you love him. I don't think you kids ought to clean your room because your parents demand you to. I think you ought to clean your room because you love your parents. You don't want them to have to put up with your mess. Hello. I don't think you ought to be good to your husband because he demands you to. I think you ought to be good to your husband because you love him. Boy, it's quiet in the house today. I think that love ought to, you understand, I think that love ought to weigh a whole lot more than I've got to do it. Yeah, I know, I'm the pastor of Parkside Baptist Church, but I'll tell you, I'd be coming here if I wasn't the pastor of Parkside Baptist Church. And I'd be coming here because I enjoy it. Hello? Brother Butler asked me to come to, invited my wife and I, and then he asked me to bring a challenge to his class yesterday. They had a Christmas fellowship, and so he invited graciously my wife and I to attend the Christmas fellowship, and then he said, by the way, can you give a challenge? And I said, well, sure, I'd be honored to do that, you know. And so we went up there, and boy, I got up and I started looking at all the faces that was in that room that I had the privilege to get in their house and talk to them about membership. And then they joined the church. And then I started to remember the different struggles that they've gone through as a young couple or maybe as a middle-aged couple, and how my wife and I have been able to be there for them and to love them and to help them through trying times, and how it had done nothing but built that relationship. And so as I got up there, I was like a sentimental old man. Well, forget the old man thing. I was a sentimental person. I got up there, and boy, I started to sniffle, and tears started to roll down my cheeks, and just thanking God for the ones that was in that room. Now, can I say this? Can I say that it's important that we understand who is the one that's made the change? Who is the one? Okay, I'm saying this. I'm saying he's wonderful. What's that mean? Well, that means that he can help you if you have problems with dullness in your life. He's the counselor. He can help you with your decisions. He's the mighty God. He ought to be the one that is demanding things in your life and you coming through. He's the Prince of Peace. What's that mean? He's going to take care of all the disturbances in your life. Amen. The Prince of Peace. You know, of course, you know, Officer Houston went home to be with the Lord. And most of you have seen the broadcast where his daughter got up and his daughter gave a testimony about if she was to see the man that killed her daddy, one of the first things she would do is be able to help him to understand his need of Christ. Now, can I say that's a wonderful testimony? But the reason she was able to say something like that is because she had peace. She had peace. You know, I was thinking the other day, I don't know how many times I heard the gospel. Only one time did somebody confront me and personally give me the gospel. But I remember coming up on that farm, and I remember Mrs. Wagner, she'd turn on Billy Graham, and, you know, he would give that gospel presentation. So I don't know how many times I heard the gospel coming up, but I thank God that somebody came to me and gave me personally the gospel. You know, that's what makes the difference. It does. That's what makes the difference. That's why we're a soul-winning church, because somebody coming up and sitting down with you and talking with you. And the other day I was over at the store, and I sat down for a few minutes. I was drinking something, and this man came over and he sat down. Well, if you sat down beside me, that means God wants me to talk to you. And so, you know, and so I started talking to him and talking to him about the Lord, had the privilege to show him his need of Christ, and he bowed his heart. He received Christ as Savior out on a bench. On a bench. You can get saved anywhere. I got saved in a carnival ground. You can get saved anywhere. One of my friends I led to Christ, he was Ron Charnego. Ron Charnego made it to the Junior Olympics, and you know, doing, you know, where you have the I forget what you call them now, but he was the rings. You know, you get the rings and you'd stretch yourself out and you'd twirl up this way and twirl then that way. Well, you know, Ron wasn't saved. Ron was raised like I was. And I remember long before we graduated the high school and stuff, and Ron and I went into the barn. I showed Ron how to be saved in the barn. And Ron bowed his head, lived on Maple Grove Road. Ron bowed his head and received Christ in the barn. Of all places, a barn. You know, you can get saved anywhere. You know, God wants us to make sure that we do our part in getting out that gospel. Well, watch this, if you would, please. It's the one that we're talking about. He's the Prince of Peace. Then it talks about the Everlasting Father, talking about the characteristics of Christ. You'll see this. That's talking about, of course, the dimensions of life. It's everlasting. It's everlasting. It's everlasting. I'm so glad that I've got everlasting life. When you take your next breath, your last breath as a believer on earth, you take your next breath in heaven. That's everlasting life that gave you that. And watch this, and I'm done. You see that there is a way in a manger, the mission of the mother. You'll see that there's the majesty of the manger. And then lastly, there's the ministry of the master. Well, what a wonderful ministry Christ had. Watch this, and still has it today through us. Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 33. The Bible says, "Behold, thou shalt conceive," it says, "in thy womb, and bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give into him," it says, "the throne of the father of David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall have no end. So his mission, Christ's mission as the Master, was to come and to give people that which is eternal life that believe on him. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, "She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sin." Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11, the Bible says, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." You know, and the Bible says, "As the Father hath sent me," he says, "so send I you." All right? So there's the ministry of the Master. Now, what is that? That's the redeemed sinners. Redeemed sinners. I remember my daddy before my daddy got saved. My daddy, I think he helped to write the book for the sailors about cursing. My daddy could out-curse any sailor you've ever seen in your life. I mean, oh, it's just every other word. And he was a drunk. My daddy was a drunk. And my. Now he was he worked at Maryland National Bank, and we had money coming in, and we were a middle, perhaps you would consider us upper middle income or whatever, but well taken care of, and took care of the family. But he drank, special on weekends, and he'd get mean when he would drink. But I watched my daddy. I watched my daddy get saved. My daddy, when my daddy received Christ, I never will forget the phone call. He said, "Mike," he said, "you won't believe what I'm doing." I said, "What are you doing, Dad?" He said, "I'm taking all the liquor and I'm pouring it down the drain." I said, "You're right, I don't believe that." He said, "Well, I got what you call born again." He said he got saved. Oh, and you know, after Daddy got saved, you know what he did? Every time he'd say a curse word, at least around us, every time he'd say a curse word, he said, "Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I apologize for saying that." And he's trying to correct himself. You know why? There's a Holy Ghost inside of him now. And that Holy Ghost inside of him was telling him, "You ought not talk that way. You ought not be doing that." You know what would clean up America? It's not the politics of America. What would clean up America is the gospel. You lead people to Christ. You show people their need of Christ. A person received Christ as Savior, and then they get into an office somewhere, and now the Holy Ghost of God will help them. The Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost goes to a house, it changes the house. He changes the house. May I say this, what will help your marriage more than anything under heaven, my dear friend, is you understanding the gospel and, yes, receiving Christ as Savior. It'll change your person. I don't know what I'd be. I really don't know what I'd be. Brother McLaurin, I don't know what I'd be if it would not be for the gospel of Christ. I don't know what I'd be. I don't know what my life would have ended up like. I know I would have never went to Bible college. I know that. I know if I never went to Bible college, I never would have met my wife. I know that. If I never met her, I never would have married her. Duh. We never would have had the children that we had. We wouldn't be blessed today by our children. If I never would have met her, never would have married her, never would have had the kids. I was a rascal back in the day. I don't know what I would have been like. Kenny, I never would have met you. Met Kenny when he was 8 years of age down when I was preaching in the valley. Never would have met him. Never would have came across. Never would have moved to Texas. No, never would have met you. Nope, not in Indiana. Mexico, New Mexico, never would have came across your path. But it's because of the goodness of God. Boy, and God's saving me, and God's, I can never get over how good God has been. And being able to meet different people and work with different people and help different people and mentor different people. But it's all because of Christ. May I say this and I'll close. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world, listen to it, to save sinners. Paul is speaking, testifying, of whom I am chief. May I say, dear friend, if you're here today without Christ, you need Christ. By receiving Christ into your life, he'll change your life. He will. He can do a better job for certain than what you've done already. by receiving Christ, he will give you everlasting life. You'll be able to lay your head on your pillow at night with great peace, knowing that if you were to take your last breath, your next breath would be in heaven. We lived in Forney before we moved out to Terrell. We lived in a nice house and a nice subdivision, and I had that double pneumonia stuff, you know. Oh, it was terrible. And so I lay awake one night, and I pulled out my phone and went to the note thing, and I wrote each one of my children a note. Wrote my dear wife a note. Didn't make it to the grandkids, but I wrote the notes. And I thought, well, you know, if this takes place, I want them to read these notes. And I had a glimpse of what it might be to take your last breath. Then God delivered me out of that. Now, can I say this? Can I say, when God gives you a second chance on some stuff, you ought to take advantage of living for God even more than you ever did before. Amen. And thank God for what he's done in your life. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Dear Father, I pray that you'd help this morning.